Farid eased the Land Cruiser up the driveway of a big house in Wazir Akbar Khan. He parked in the shadows of willow trees that spilled over the walls of the compound located on Street 15, Sarake Mehmana, Street of the Guests. He killed the engine and we sat for a minute, listening to the tink-tink of the engine cooling off, neither one of us saying anything. Farid shifted on his seat and toyed with the keys still hanging from the ignition switch. I could tell he was readying himself to tell me something. "I guess I'll wait in the car for you," he said finally, his tone a little apologetic. He wouldn't look at me. "This is your business now. I patted his arm. "You've done much more than I've paid you for. I don't expect you to go with me," I said. But I wished I didn't have to go in alone. Despite what I had learned about Baba, I wished he were standing alongside me now. Baba would have busted through the front doors and demanded to be taken to the man in charge, piss on the beard of anyone who stood in his way. But Baba was long dead, buried in the Afghan section of a little cemetery in Hayward. Just last month, Soraya and I had placed a bouquet of daisies and freesias beside his headstone. I was on my own. I stepped out of the car and walked to the tall wooden front gates of the house. I rang the bell, but no buzz came, still no electricity, and I had to pound on the doors. A moment later, I heard terse voices from the other side, and a pair of men toting Kalashnikovs answered the door. I glanced at Farid sitting in the car and mouthed, "I'll be back," not sure at all that I would be. The armed men frisked me from head to toe, patted my legs and felt my crotch. One of them said something in Pashto, and they both chuckled. We stepped through the front gates. The two guards escorted me across a well-manicured lawn, past a row of geraniums and stubby bushes lined along the wall. An old hand-pump water well stood at the far end of the yard. I remembered how Kaka Humayun's house in Jalalabad had had a water well like that. The twins, Fazila and Karima, and I used to drop pebbles in it, listen for the plink. We climbed a few steps and entered a large, sparsely decorated house. We crossed a foyer. A large Afghan flag draped one of the walls, and the men took me upstairs to a room with twin mint-green sofas and a big-screen TV in the far corner. A prayer rug showing a slightly oblong Mecca was nailed to one of the walls. The older of the two men motioned me toward the sofa with the barrel of his weapon. I sat down. They left the room. I crossed my legs, uncrossed them, sat with my sweaty hands on my knees. Did that make me look nervous? I clasped them together, decided that was worse, and just crossed my arms on my chest. Blood thudded in my temples. I felt utterly alone. Thoughts were flying around in my head, but I didn't want to think at all, because a sober part of me knew that what I had managed to get myself into was insanity. I was thousands of miles from my wife, sitting in a room that felt like a holding cell, waiting for a man I had seen murder two people that same day. It was insanity. Worse yet, it was irresponsible. There was a very realistic chance that I was going to render Soraya a bewa, a widow, at the age of 36. "This isn't you, Amir," part of me said. "You're gutless. It's how you were made. And that's not such a bad thing, because your saving grace is that you've never lied to yourself about it. Not about that. Nothing wrong with cowardice, as long as it comes with prudence. But when a coward stops remembering who he is, God help him."